So like I explained just now, meditation is to train the mind to be heedful. So we need to understand what is heedfulness. You are only heedful if you are not heedless, understand or not? So that one may sound a bit difficult for you. But if you cannot understand heedlessness, then you check before you train your mind, are that mind, the mundane thinking mind that think a lot, worry a lot, do a lot of what they call mental chattering and reaction to sensation, that is what heedlessness is. When your thought cannot stop thinking, cannot stop chattering, and cannot stop doing all those habitual things in life, means you are heedless. So meditation is to train the mind to be heedful. And how can your mind be heedful? Well, according to the teaching, the Buddha said, if you don't have the five spiritual faculty, you cannot understand spiritual teaching. Okay? Then what are the reasons why you cannot have the five spiritual faculty? Because you didn't train them. So without the five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrance take over, understand or not? Like, you have no law and order. The police not doing their work. What happened to society? All the chaotic thing happened. All the criminal will be very happy, very active. So your mundane heedless mind is the same. Without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance become active. And what are mental hindrance? It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness to be with your true mind. That's what is called a mental hindrance. And what are they? First two, sensual desire and ill will. Why did the Buddha say these two are mental hindrance? So when you perceive something through your senses, whether seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, what happened? You always react to what you perceive, isn't it? Like see, when you see something. You tend to have this habitual tendency or reaction of perceiving it with positive or negative emotion or feeling. That's why you have like and dislike. Pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. What you like, you cling, you crave, you grasp. So that is sensual desire. What you don't like, you want to push away. You develop ill will, dislike against that thing. So if throughout the day when you live your life through your senses, whenever you perceive something, you have this habitual like and dislike, what are you doing? You are creating? You are creating what? Can you all follow? If you react with like and dislike means there is sensual desire and ill will, and these are mental hindrance. You are creating mental hindrance. Then how can you meditate? How can you be peaceful? That's why to train the mind is to understand this. If the mental hindrance born of my habitual tendency is so strong, how can I meditate? That's why a lot of people go to retreat. I mean, pardon me for saying that. Most of them are wasting their time. You don't know how to train your mind. You don't know that it's the mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace. And these first two are very powerful. They have the evil roots of greed and hatred behind. And we like duality. We like to cling on to nice mind state or pleasant experience or things that can make us happy, peaceful, like. Then when we don't like something, we develop negativity of mind state, aversion, envy, jealousy, hatred, dislike. So throughout the day, if you do that, means every moment of sense experience, this has become a habit. Means your reaction to sense experience create the mental hindrance, and they will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state or inner peace, inner communion. So what must you do? You must reverse it, isn't it? True or not? Simple question. You must reverse it, true or not? Then you ask yourself, how can I not react and stir? How? You have to straighten your view there. You ask yourself, if I stir, I create mental hindrance, then my mind cannot enter the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. What must I do? I have to learn to see things, like the Buddha said, as they are, so that I don't react and stir. You understand not? Means I have to learn to accept things as they are. The world is the world. Everything that arises, like the Buddha said, whatever that has arisen, there are causes and conditions behind. There is no such thing as good or bad, right or wrong, pleasant or unpleasant. But that is the reality. That depends on the individual. If you choose to react that way and behave that way, that is you without the wisdom doing that. But when you have the wisdom, why must you stir your mind? Why must you react to sense experience? Why can't you accept the reality of the moment? But that is the reality. Like the Buddha said, whatever happened, there are causes and conditions behind. So if I can accept things as they are, or the way things are, means I can be at peace. Then I don't have to stir my mind. You understand or not? Then you can be in a state of relaxed inner awareness. Then you maintain awareness. Then you realize when you do that, you don't stir, you don't react. Then you are at peace. That is how, through wisdom, you understand. You have to develop that wisdom not to stir and react through understanding. Like the Buddha's teaching, thing is just the way it is. Causes and conditions, when they arise, is already set. Means everything that develop and trigger of this happening within the moment, the causes and conditions already set. Cannot be otherwise. The civilization, the consciousness, the movement, they are already set in motion. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. You become afflicted. So this is a understanding that you must develop. If I want things my way, which is not in accordance with nature's way, I suffer. But if I accept the reality of the moment, I'm at peace, then there is clarity. Then I understand what happened. That's how you see with the awareness and the silent mind that all these stirring are due to habitual tendency, wrong view, wrong thought that condition you to move that way. So the Buddha said you must develop the five spiritual faculties to counter them. So what is the five spiritual faculties that can counter them? Sloth and torpor, which is sleepiness, lethargic mind. That is a hindrance though. So when you are sleepy, your mind, lethargic, is tuned to what? Tuned to two possibilities. One, you're too tired. Understand? Then, second one, you got no interest in whatever subject that is presented to you. Like you, in your school day, you attend a class or a subject matter that has been taught by the teacher that you don't like. It can be physics or chemistry or something, sometimes literature, very boring one. You sure sleepy one, isn't it? Your eye cannot open. And that is a mental hindrance as well. How can you be aware and attentive when you feel sleepy? That's why it's a mental hindrance. And most people who don't see the importance of learning meditation and the teaching, they fell sleepy during the class. You understand or not? Then in the meditation also, every day sit, very dull, nothing to stimulate. So you feel sleepy, that's why you doze off. Then when you ask the teacher, I mean the usual retreat that most people go to, they say, go and wash your face. Yeah? You heard of this advice before, yeah? Yeah. Or develop the virya, which is not completely wrong. But develop the virya. Before you develop the virya, you must understand how virya come about. Understand? No? Without the spiritual faculty or saddha, the virya cannot come. Understand? You don't see the importance of the teaching and the beauty of the teaching and who the Buddha is, how unique a teacher he is. He's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. So with that faith, it will stir you to cultivate. That's why saddha will lead to virya, where you see the beauty of the teaching, the importance of the teaching. So all this is how you must understand it. Last minute, sleepy already, ask you to develop virya. How? Cannot understand. Like yoniso manasikara wisdom. You must develop it first, have it first. Then only it can spontaneously prompt you. Then that virya will drive you, then sleepiness will not arise. But before you develop it, when you are sleepy, you want to apply virya. Cannot, understand? No? So sometimes the advice they give you is, in Hokkien or in Cantonese, they say, lo lai gong, understand? Or gya lai gong. Because cannot be done. One. So once you understand this, then you don't listen to all this. Then you know this is a mental hindrance. I need to develop virya. Means during the sitting, when you are facing that one, you don't try to force yourself to open up your eye. Understand? No point. That way, you are wasting a lot of your time there. So if you are tired, sleepy, rest. Have enough rest. Yeah. Then after that, if you are no longer tired and sleepy, you have to find out, how can I overcome sleepiness? How can you overcome sleepiness? Yeah. You don't go and fight it, no. Fight it means what? Sleepy already, ma. I don't want to be sleepy, ma. Means I have aversion towards that mind state, understand? So, I want to fight it, or I want to go and wash my face. But please don't get me wrong, washing the face is very good, it freshens you up, understand? You come back, you're not so sleepy. But what I want to point out to you is, if you develop the aversion towards that sleepiness, there is the mental hindrance or dislike inside there already. Do you realize? Then it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. You know how I overcome sleepiness or not? I tested it, I tried it, and I understood it. After that day, no more mental hindrance of sleepiness. And I know if I'm tired, I need to rest, I rest. I can maintain awareness. So once you understand this, you know what I did or not? When I was so sleepy, at that time, I don't know. So I relax into it. I silent. I accept the reality. Understand not? I don't want to fight. I don't want to label it as I am a meditator. I cannot have this sleepiness. It's a mental hindrance. You don't understand the true teaching. When you understand, you don't label. Understand not? You don't verbalize. So what? That mind state that arises is a condition arising mind state. Not intrinsic in me. It arrives because I don't have virya. So if I silence my mind and don't do anything, what happened? Huh? What happened? There is no mental hindrance there. True or not? If there is no mental hindrance, what will take over? Well, when you silence your mind, sati will take over. Understand or not? Mindfulness will take over. You don't believe me? You try. All of a sudden, when sati take over, the virya come back. The sleepiness is gone. But there is no more hindrance to develop that state further. So this is how you overcome the mental hindrance. So likewise, sensual desire and ill will, you look at the whiteboard, these are mental hindrances. These come from habitual tendency. This one have the evils of greed and hatred behind. Why you stir your mind? Because you don't have wisdom, panya. You don't have faith. You don't have sadha. Your mind is not calm. You have no clarity of mind. You don't have the spiritual faculty of sati. That's why these two active. When there is faith, you no longer restless. True or not? Huh? Your faith will help you to overcome restlessness of mind and doubt. Then we have virya, no more sleepiness, sloth and torpor. So this one you need to know how to realize it. Because if you don't contemplate sadha, virya cannot come. But in the meditative state, even without this sadha, you can do it. Because you only need to know, if I don't create light and dislike over that sleepiness, this may be a hindrance. That's why in the fourth foundation of mindfulness, Dhammanupassana, mindfulness of the five mental hindrances is the first category of practice. The Buddha said, when there is any of these mental hindrances, aware. Aware means what? You don't stir your mind and label it as sleepiness, understand? A mind state you don't like. You just stay with it. Means what? Awareness. The awareness and the sleepiness as one. You silent and let it go in. You realize sati take over. This sati, which is the silent mind or your awareness as you eat, it will help you to transform this one and make your mind full of energy, which is virya. Because sati is not a mental hindrance. It's a spiritual faculty that can make your mind peaceful. Sati is without thought, you remember? Before the knowing. When you have sati, whatever arise, no reaction. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just let things be. Then what happened? Sensual desire and ill will cannot arise. Because these are mental state. These are thought, understand not? When you are aware, there is no thought. That's why this awareness overcomes sloth and torpor. You understand? Then this sati also prevent these two fellows from arising, sensual desire and ill will. Of course, finally, is panya. When you have wisdom, it also overcome these two. So this one also can overcome these two through sati. Now you understand? Yeah? Then, when you have problem, worry, anxiety, and fear, your mind become what? Ah, restless. Because you already restless, ma. Ayo, what happened if my boss come to know? What happened if my wife come to know? What happened if my neighbor come to know? What happened if my creditor come to know? So all these are your fear, your worry. That's why your mind become restless. You cannot keep calm. You cannot be at peace. You actually can develop phobia, understand? Panic. So all the fear, worry, anxiety trigger a depressive mind state and give rise to mental problem. So this restlessness of mind, you also need sati, anasana. When you can relax and maintain awareness, what happens? The restlessness will cease to be. Because these are all mind states that are dependent originating, not intrinsic within your true mind and true nature. And all this arise through wrong view, understand not? So you have this understanding, then restlessness will cease. That's why with sadha, it ceases. With sati, it also ceases. then with wisdom, it also sees. That's why wisdom and sati are very powerful. When you have sati, it can see things as they are, and the stability of it comes from samadhi, then this mind will not stir. Which means sati and samadhi can see things as they are and prevent the reaction of mind. Then it develops the wisdom to free from all this. So doubt is the same. Lack of wisdom, there is doubt. So when there is wisdom, there is no more doubt. Understand? Then when there is faith in the Buddha and his teaching, you also don't have any more doubt. Then you can meditate easily. With the spiritual faculty, your mind settle down and develop the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, which is mainly sati. Sati, when it's stabilized, it becomes pasati. You understand? The seven factors of enlightenment. Remember? First one is what? Sati. When you have sati, you can investigate the Dhamma, because you can silence your mind to investigate and find out. Like in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha said, when there is sensual desire, you will slow and topple restlessness of mind or doubt. You must be aware. Aware means what? Means don't do anything. Just the awareness and that mind state as one. Then you will come to know it ceases to be. Means all these mind states are not you. Fear, worry, anxiety, which is included inside here, are not you. Well, to be restless, you need fear, worry, anxiety. Understand now? Anger is ill will, also not you. So when you just aware, it ceases. That's why in the sutta, the Buddha say, when there is mental hindrance, any of this, aware. When you aware, you will come to know how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. How? There are five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. And the Buddha say, the third way is the sati awareness-based way. Be aware, then it ceases. Means what? When I'm aware, there is no condition for it to arise. There it ceases. When it ceases, it implies a very important understanding that all these mind states are not me. Understand not? Anger was never me. Then I worry about anger for what? It is through wrong view and habitual tendency I stir and I reacted. But when I know it's not me, I don't have to fight it. Understand not? I don't have to do anything to overcome it. I just silence my mind. This one is a silent mind. When you silence your mind, this is the one that can stay just aware. There are no thought involved, no movement, no duality, nothing. Everything will cease. Then the Buddha say, after you have understood how the arisen mental hindrance cease to be, the next one is to use the fourth way to retrospectively understand, retrospectively is later, to trace the origination factor. Means, how did all this mind state arise? You need mindfulness to trace. How did sensual desire arise? How did all this arise? I trace it. That's why I found out that they are not intrinsic. They arise because I lack this one. I didn't stabilize this one. So when I saw this, then I straightened my view. I asked myself, why should I react to sense experience and arise all this? And these two, in fact, all, are habitual tendency. When you have problem, you panic already. You become restless already. You try to look for solution. You try to get people to help you. But you yourself panic first. Like I used to advise, whatever happened, don't panic. Don't react. So when you trace the origination factor, means it comes from your sense experience. To have like and dislike it through your senses, understand not? And the origination factor is because you perceive it with your old habit, wrong view. That if I follow the advice of the Buddha, enable me to develop the wisdom to see the reality, see things as they are, then I don't have to labor. I don't have to react. I don't have to stir. So through ability to straighten your view, to see things that as they are and accept the reality of what this is, because like the Buddha said, condition like that thing where I don't have to say this is pleasurable, this is what I like, this is what I dislike. All this duality need not arise. Then you can be at peace with all things. Of course, this form and mind live in an existential world. You have certain type of like and dislike. Well, these are the habits that the individual develops since young. And most of it is past life, actually. You like certain things, it's all past life. So if you know these are your habits, then whatever movement before you are heedful is due to heedlessness. But when you are heedful already, thing is just the way it is. Although I say I like the Kayamita, no, I like Chi Kok Cho. Understand? Or Habi Farampo. Understand? But if there is no condition, I don't suffer. Understand? I don't go and crave until, oh, yo, I must have this, I must. No. So all this become your understanding. So when you understand, you're supposed to retrospectively reverse it through what? Right view. That's why you straighten your view. When you straighten your view, you do not behave like before. You become hateful. Well, everything is just the way it is. Why should I label it? Then when I have this, this one cannot arise. So my focus should be cultivating this. Understand? Especially sati, awareness base. When you have this, almost everyone, you realize or not, this one also same. Doubt also same. All the five, sati can help you overcome. You understand? And this is how you meditate and develop the understanding. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.